Good morning. Welcome. This is Ephesus Baptist Church. This is God's house. He has provided it for us to come and to worship and to praise Him. And I ask you, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen. It's so good. You know, this morning we had the new deacons who are rotating on the 1st of October come to the meeting. And as much as I think of Kenny Pitts, I kind of hate to see him rotate on. Every deacon's meeting, he brings up about putting a clock at the back of the church. So far, I've been able to out-lobby him on that. But I want to read this morning our text for this Sabbath. It comes from Acts, the 16th chapter, verses 16 through 34. And I invite you to follow along as I read from Acts chapter 16, verses 16 through 34. Once we were going, and we're talking about Paul and Silas now, once we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune-telling. This girl followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so troubled that he turned around and said to the Spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." At that moment, the Spirit left her. When the owners of the slave girl realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us as Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds, and immediately he and his family were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. May God add his blessing to the reading, hearing, and studying of his word. The scripture passage this morning involves Paul's adventure in Greece. He and Silas were on a missionary journey in the area of Philippi. And initially the trip seemed to be going well. And then one day this Acts calls her a young slave girl. She began following them around, declaring, "These men are servants of the God Most High, who are telling you the way to be saved." Now, this conduct by this slave girl might at first seem like It's a benefit to Paul and Silas. After all, it's free publicity. But this did not happen just once or twice. She kept this chant up for day after day after day. And it became to be a nuisance to Paul and Silas and a distraction from the mission for which they were there. And Paul one day became so troubled about this, so agitated, that he cast the demonic spirit out of the girl, and as a result, she lost her powers to tell the future. Well, you can imagine how upset her owners were, because they had been using her powers to make money for themselves, and Paul had destroyed those powers. So they seized Paul and Silas, and the two men were dragged into the marketplace, and there they were accused of advocating customs which were unlawful for the Romans to practice or to accept. This is beginning to be a bad day for Paul and Silas. But the situation goes from bad to worse. Paul and Silas were brought before a makeshift court. They were stripped, beaten severely, and thrown into inner prison, and their feet were placed in the stocks. Have you ever had one of those days? One of those days when there were things that just weren't going your way. One of those days when one bad thing after another seemed to happen to you. One of those days when you told yourself or you told someone, well, at least things can't get any worse. And yet they did. Well, let me share a bad day Connie and I experienced Friday. I got up Friday. I did not feel well at all. But I had one deputy on vacation. Connie had people come into the house. We have a fan we had bought for the living room in June, and we've had two people look at it. One even took the chandelier down to put the fan up and then said he couldn't put the fan up, so he put the chandelier back up, and we still got the fan in the box, and a guy was coming to do that. The swimming pool for the grandkids was leaking. We had called the man two times that week. He was sending a man down. The man came. He hadn't been told what our problem was. He didn't bring the gauge to check where the leak was. The guy that was going to put up the fan, he told Connie he'd have to come back the next Thursday. So Connie goes up to a building that I had obtained for us to store some furniture and things that we're going to sell in October. And about 4 o'clock that afternoon, I was sitting in the office just feeling miserable, and Connie comes in. Her face is blood red. She's sweating. She's drinking a cup of tea. And she said, I need help. I said, what's the matter? She said, I locked the keys in the building. I can't get in the building. I can't get the keys. And the building's not but about probably 70 yards from my office. So I called the mayor. The mayor, it's a building that's for sale, and the owner let me engage it for a couple of months while he's trying to sell it. So I called the mayor who had the key to it, because the owner lives out of the county. The mayor said, no, I don't have another key. I called the realtor who was not in the county and said, can you possibly give me the code to the lockbox on the door so I can get the key to get in to get the keys? And she laughed and she said, sure, I'll give you that. So she gave me that. We went up there, unlocked the door, checked 2 or 3 times how we were supposed to lock it and use it and not lock it until we put the key back in it. So we got all that straight. It was about 4:20. I said, I'm not going back to work. I said, I'm going home. Connie said, me too. I slammed the door, and a 4-foot piece of 2x6 fell off of the building under the stoop. It hit me on the shoulder. If it hit me on the head, it'd kill me. It had 10-penny nails in it. I don't know why it came off. But I had just said to myself inside, Well, things can't get any worse. We got the keys back, and then when I shut that door and it fell, we had one of those days. Paul and Silas were having one of those days. I'm sure all of you have had one of those days or one of those weeks sometimes. But let me tell you, if we are not serving Jesus or not in His will, then the days are not going to get any better. One of those bad days are going to bring a lot of stress upon us, but they're not going to get any better. Thank God if we confess our sins, He is faithful to forgive and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you can rest assured that any unrighteous man and woman is not going to have much hope of things getting significantly better from one of those days. One of those days when things can't get any worse. For the non-believer, they're not going to get much better, and they can get worse. So while it's true that even a child of God can have a bad day is in a Christian's life will not have the last word in that person's life. God will have the last word in your life. Remember, God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love Him. To those who have been called according to His purposes. So how do we turn around a bad day? Well, that text tells us in verse 25 that about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the other prisoners were listening. The victory in overcoming those bad days occurs when we apply the equation to our life of prayer plus praise equals deliverance. First, we must begin with prayer. Call upon the name of the Lord. Spend time one-on-one with God who loves us very much. Then listen, because Jesus promises that the sheep will hear His voice. Jesus also says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Have you ever been in a situation which caused you great stress and you didn't know where to turn for help? Jesus tells you, He says, "Me. Take my yoke. It is easy. Take my burden. It is light." Jesus says, "I've already made the sacrifice. I've already paid the price for you. All you have to do is to come to me." And the bad days will not be bad anymore. Sometimes those bad days are simply bad days because we haven't talked to the Lord in prayer. Joseph Scrivens became keenly aware of the power of prayer. It sustained him when all seemed lost in his life. His fiancée died, drowned, the night before they were scheduled to be married. A very short time thereafter, his mother was lying ill on her deathbed. And he wrote her a letter and enclosed the lines of a new poem that he had written. And we know the words of that poem as the song, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." And in that first verse, he expressed this ironic truth. "Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." Prayer is our direct line of communication with God. God must be looking at us and wondering, why don't you let go of your fears and your stresses and your worries? Why let Satan drag you around through life battered and scarred, when all you have to do is pray to me? So how do we turn around a bad day? First of all, we pray because God will sustain us. The second step in that equation is the equation of prayer plus praise equals deliverance is praise. After Paul and Silas prayed, they began to sing hymns of praise to God. Whether it's a song, whether it's in word, praise is the language of our faith. Now, man would argue that Paul and Silas' situation hadn't changed any. It hadn't gotten any better. They were still in prison. But there was nothing about which to sing. But through the eyes of faith, which Paul and Silas had, they saw that God had not forsaken them. And they were praising him for that. The third step in that equation is deliverance. Even though it has been a bad day for Paul and Silas up to this point, even though they were imprisoned and put in stocks, God was with them. And it takes faith to praise God when we've had one of those days, one of those bad. It's easy to be a fair weather Christian. It's easy to praise the Lord when we're prosperous and successful and healthy and things are going our way and everything we touch seems like is in our favor. But it takes faith to sing praises to God for what he has allowed to happen to us. And we look at others and it seems as if nothing ever happens to them. However, once we pray and place our problems in God's hands, what else is there to do but to praise him? To do anything less than praise God is to suggest two things. One, he does not care. And two, he does not hear. So if you believe that God hears our prayers and you know that he cares about us, then we must praise him. Our faith teaches us that. So remember to pray to God, yet also praise him. As Paul and Silas sang, the prison was shaken so violently, the door opened, and they were delivered. They had the jailer there to witness to. And because of their witness, and because of what happened, he took them into his home, fed them, and they were all baptized. Now that's an example of a bad day changed to a good day through faith in God. So please hold on to that equation. Prayer plus praise equals deliverance, because the life of a Christian embodies that very simple truth. And this morning, if you have not learned the equation for turning those days that things just can't get worse into good days, then we invite you to come and accept Jesus as your Savior. And then you can talk to him directly. He will hear. And you can give him all the praise for all the great things he'll do in your life. And we invite you to come forward as we sing a hymn of invitation, number 321, The Savior.